That. Appreciate the message last night, Brother Randolph. It was very needful, very helpful. And so thank the Lord for God's goodness to us. Amen. Amen. Let's take your Bibles here this morning, if you would. Genesis chapter number 24. Genesis 24. Excuse me. You know, as a new year always begins, we often... my habit is I start reading the Bible over again. And, you know, just kind of when Brother Moore asked me to be able to preach at the fellowship meeting, I don't know about other preachers, but preaching to preachers seems a little more hard to me than preaching to the normal church folks that I would think that we ought to normally preach to, but just to give us something and make application to us in our lives. And so I was reading there in Genesis, and I kind of in that... second week of January here, and I came across this text. He's kind of marked it into my Bible. And when Brother Moore asked me to preach, and I'm praying about, Lord, what would you have me to preach here this morning? And sometimes I think we need to revisit some things in the Bible. Amen. Yes. Amen. Amen. Give attention to again, and just really kind of further drive home the truth of God's Word in our lives. And certainly, the Word of God again has application. Amen. Yes. It is relevant to our lives, and so I want to be able to. Encourage you this morning, but often this, I think the Bible gives us a warning about accountability, amen? There's a warning in the Word of God, lest we should be hearers of the Word and not doers. We need to be doers, amen?
Amen.
And so this morning, as God leads, I think we need to follow. Genesis chapter number 24, amen. I want to consider this morning. Are you in the way of God's leadership? Are you in the way of God's leadership? In other words, are you going in a way that God wants you to go? Are you going that direction? Or are you in the way of God's leadership? You understand the difference there? There's a difference there, amen. So Genesis chapter 24, verse number 1, the Bible says here, excuse me, and Abraham was old and well stricken in age, and the Lord had blessed Abraham in all things. And Abraham said unto his eldest servant of his house, that ruled over all that he had, put, I pray thee, thy hand under my thigh, and I will make thee swear by the Lord, the God of heaven and the God of earth, that thou shalt not take a wife unto my son of the daughters of the Canaanites. Now, it does make a difference who you marry, doesn't it? Amen. Young people, you need to pay attention to that.
Amen.
You need to pay attention to that, amen. That's the first thing we see here. Among whom I dwell. Verse number 4, but thou... shalt go unto my country and my kindred and take a wife unto my son Isaac. And the servant said unto him, peradventure the woman will not be willing to follow me unto this land. Must I need bring thy son again into the land from whence thou camest? And Abraham said unto him, beware thou that thou bringest not my son thither again. Now notice again verse number 7, and the Lord God of heaven, which took me from my father's house and from the land of my kindred, and which spake unto me, that sware unto me, saying, unto thy seed will I give this land, he shall send his angel before thee, and thou shalt take a wife unto my son from thence. Abraham is essentially saying this, that God will provide, God will providentially see to this. Amen. And Abraham says, I've learned to trust God. I've learned to trust him. I've learned, again, that he knows what's going on, and he knows how to see this to the end. Drop down to verse number 10. It's a long chapter. We're going to skip around a little bit. And the servant took 10 camels of the camels of his master and departed, for all the goods of his master were in his hand. And he arose and went to Mesopotamia unto the city of Nahor. And he made his camels to kneel down without the city by a well of water at the time of the evening, even the time that women go out to draw water. And he said, O Lord God of my master Abraham, I pray thee, send me good speed this day and show kindness unto my master Abraham. Behold, I stand here by the well of water, and the daughters of the men of the city come out to draw water. And let it come to pass that the damsel whom I shall say, let down thy pitcher, I pray thee, that I may drink, And she shall say, drink, and I will give thy camels drink also, lest let the same be she that thou hast appointed for thy servant Isaac, and there shall I know that thou hast showed kindness unto my master. You get that? So it goes on again, then, and Rebekah comes, and she does exactly what he was hoping that God would do, and she gave him drink, and then she also gave the camels drink. Verse number 21. And the man wondering at her held his peace, to wit, or to know, whether the Lord had made his journey prosperous or not. Have you ever seen God work in such a clear way? And yet you are still wondering. I wonder if God's in this or not. Amen. Verse 27. And he said, blessed be the Lord God of my master Abraham, who hath not left destitute my master of his mercy and truth. And here's the phrase I want us to look at, and I love it. I being in the way, the Lord led me. I being in the way, the Lord led me. I think that's practical. I believe it's a foundational way to live. For everyone, those in ministry, those not in ministry, being in the way. Amen. God can lead those that are in the way, but don't get in the way of God's leadership. Amen. Drop down to verse number 40. We're not done reading yet. Verse number 40. And he said unto me, the Lord before whom I walk, I will send his angel with thee and prosper, what? Thy way. Verse number 48. And I bowed down my head and worshiped the Lord and blessed the Lord God of my master Abraham. And he's recounting all that happened there, which had led me, what?
The right way.
In the right way. He prospered my way. He led me in the right way. Verse 56. And he said unto me, hinder me not, seeing the Lord hath prospered, what? My way. Verse 61. And Rebekah arose and her damsels, and they rode upon the camels and followed the man. And the servant took Rebekah and went, what?
His way.
So I being in the way, the Lord led me. Let's pray. Father, I pray that you just bless this morning. Lord, help me to be able to convey, Lord, I believe what the text would have us to have this morning. Lord, encourage us. Lord, I pray, Lord, that you just bless, again, our time together, Lord, that have been profitable, Lord, that have been helpful and encouraging. And, Lord, I pray, Lord, for maybe one that has a great need even this morning. Lord, maybe there's some questions or some things going on. Lord, I pray that they were encouraged last night and can continue to get that refreshment and encouragement today. Lord, we'll bless today in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
And you're going to be seated this morning. Man, I appreciate, again, the message last night, again, for Brother Randolph. Just very practical, helpful, encouraging. Again, how we ought to minister among God's people. We need to be reminded of that. Amen? We very much need to be reminded of that. And if we're going to grow in our personal life and in ministry, you're going to have to follow God's leadership. You have to follow God's leadership. Don't ever get over that you need to follow God's leadership. Don't come to the place where, well, I'm the pastor and we're just going to do it my way. I mean, that's not a very good way to go about ministry, amen? It's not our church, it's his church, amen? And so we need to be reminded of that. And we'll see again, even in this text, we'll see the providential leadership of God in this passage. God has a way of speaking to hearts, amen? And Jesus said, my sheep hear my voice and they will follow me. My sheep hear my voice and they will follow me. I believe we serve a God who is actively involved in our lives. He is at work and he can lead, he can guide amongst us. And so we're really quite simple. Again, are you in the way of God's leadership? Are you following God's leadership in life and in ministry? We need to be encouraged. And I believe we'd say, you know what? We want God to lead. I believe every one of us would say we want God to lead our lives. Isn't that right? And if God's leading you somewhere, maybe somewhere else in ministry, again, I appreciate, again, Brother Moore's testimony and how, again, God orchestrated that all out in his life. But if you're just looking for greener grass on the other side, let me just say this. Greener grass isn't found always somewhere else. Greener grass is always found where you labor and where you water.
Amen.
Amen. And those were encouraging words that were given to me at one time. Amen. But following God's leadership, again, I don't know where everybody is in terms of what decisions you're even facing in your life, in ministry. But there's just one thing about it, though. You better do what God wants you to do. You better do what God wants you to do, seeking God's leadership, maybe in various circumstances, seeking God's leadership, decisions on maybe purchasing a home or renting a home or whatever it might be where even to buy. You know, those are, again, decisions you ought to run to the Lord for. They're big decisions. You know, where you're going to maybe even go to school or get some kind of training, or where you're going to send your kids to school, and all those are important. Again, young people, who you're going to marry, those are decisions. And you don't have to wait until you're in your 20s to start praying for that right spouse. You need to start praying now about that. Amen. Huge decisions even about health. And I think we all get certain decisions we have to make about health and things going on. You know, is Brother Moore just calling me old here. And you know, there was one time that when I came to pastor, I was 25 years old, and now I'm almost 50 and getting closer to that spectrum. But, you know, one time I was the young preacher in the state, and now I'm not. And I'm thankful for the new younger guys are. But there's some decisions you got to start considering about health and how you're going to live, and maybe even some other serious health decisions. Seek the Lord on that, how you're going to go about that. Or seeking God's leadership even for aging parents. We see that again, maybe even amongst our ministries and churches. There's some people that are that need make decisions. Those are huge decisions. But I'm so thankful that we have a loving, tender shepherd who cares for his sheep. And those decisions that we're making. And he can lead us and he can guide us, and decisions about all these things. But every decision you make has an impact on your life, and it has an impact on the lives of others. Decisions about what you're supposed to maybe even preach. You hear me? Decisions on maybe what you're even supposed to preach. Decisions about ministry, decisions about programs. How about this? Even those that sing specials. Thank the Lord for the young men that sang last night, the ladies that sang even this morning, and the choir. I mean, how about just being prepared to sing and being prayed up before singing about what you're singing about?
Amen.
Amen. Maybe for those that are members of Western Hills here, and maybe pray about your ministry involvement. Again, where does God want you to serve? Not if he wants you to serve, but where?
Yeah.
We ought to all be involved in ministry, amen?
Yeah.
Amen. Some don't have a hard time making decisions. You know, sometimes I have a hard time making decisions. I want to be slow. I don't want to be rash and hasty on doing some things. You ever been there before? You know, but Webster defines decision as a determination arrived at after consideration. You need to make some decisions after you've done some consideration. So here we see in the text the servant of Abraham. He's faced a major situation, has he not? He's faced a major situation. Many, many lives are in the balance. If you actually think about it, generations are in the balance. In fact, again, we're here because a man sought God.
Right.
We're here again because we have a completed Bible because a man sought God. I understand again, and I believe again in the providential work of God, but God's work, he works through people who obey him and who seek him. And so we're here really as a result of that, and I believe that just underscores really the magnitude of the decisions that we make in ministry, that we make in life. Really on a day-to-day basis, but especially the large decisions that affect so many people. so many generations. You know, my son-in-law, he's from Maine. We went out into Maine this last August, and he was even talking to Brother Elwell about a couple of weeks ago. There's a lot of places that have generational type of churches, buildings that are 150, 200 years old. Tell me the churches that you know, being in Maine, some of the just foundational, even good Baptist churches in the heritage of our nation, founded there now, just a few generations later, no longer what they once were. Not even a shadow. Not even preaching the Word of God. Some of them even have women in their pulpits. See, what you do today affects many more generations. Amen? So we need to understand that it doesn't just affect you. It affects many others. It is going to be an effect on generations. And I think somebody said there between the ages of 15 to 25 is they call that the mistake zone in life. You hear that, young people? It's the mistake zone in life. And you make some of the most really monumental decisions in life. So that's usually where you're in large decisions that are going to affect really probably even the rest of the course of your life. You know, where you're going to live, again, what you're going to do, where you're going to learn, what you're going to learn, how many kids you're going to have, who you're going to marry. Those are all important decisions. Those are huge. That mistake zone. But it's not just during that critical decade there, when you make the very most important decisions. The important decisions every day of you make them every day of your life. You can either, again, be in the way, or are you in God's way? Are you in the way of His will, or are you in the way of His will? So we need to, again, know how God leads our life. In this longest chapter, chapter 24, the longest chapter of Genesis here, and it's not here just to take up space. Aren't you glad that God's Word doesn't just try to fill up pages? What He says is important, and it's applicable to our lives, and we just need to take the time to dig into it and seek the Lord again. What would He have for us out of this? Because they are the people of Israel, and they were making their way again across the wilderness, and they're about to go into the land of Canaan. And the first readers of Genesis, under Moses' leadership, then under later the leadership of Joshua, they needed to know that they followed God, that God would work providentially in their life, and that God was at work there. And as you go through life, as you and I go through life, you need to know for sure that God is actually involved in your life. You need to know that, preacher. You need to know that God's at work in your life and can work providentially on your behalf, even of those who diligently seek Him. So are you following God's leadership in your life? You know, number one, I want to encourage you again with just some of these thoughts here. First of all, I think we see here in the text, again, verse number 7, if you would, jump back there, verse number 7. The Bible says here in verse number 7, the Lord God of heaven, which took me from my father's house and from the land of my kindred, which hath spake unto me and sware unto me, saying, thy seed will I give this land, and he shall send his angel before thee, and thou shalt take a wife unto my son from thence. So first of all, we see you have to be confident of God's ability to lead. Abraham was confident in God's ability to lead his servant. Be confident in the ability to lead. God does the leading. Amen? When you seek Him, verse number 40, if you would also, verse number 40. It says there, and he said unto me, the Lord before whom I walk, I will send an angel with thee, and prosper thy way, and thou wilt take a wife of my son and my kindred and my father's house. So how that Abraham, he kind of reiterated, even with his servant, the Lord will send his angel. The Lord will send his angel a couple of times here. He will go and he will work before you. God will work before you. God can lead you. Amen? Sometimes, I don't know about you, but me, I sometimes think, well, I think we all sometimes get in the flesh. And we say, well, this is what we got to do this year. This is kind of the goals today. It's okay to have goals, but it needs to be under God's leadership.
Amen.
And you need to allow God to lead in that direction because God is involved. You know, I find in life there's really two extremes that there can often be. There are those who say, you know, God doesn't lead you specifically. He really doesn't work specifically in your life that way. And they would say, some claim, some who claim to be very intelligent. And they say things like this, you know, God doesn't really do that. And he doesn't work in your life in that way. And they say, well, he sent an angel before them. And that's how he did in the Old Testament. He doesn't work that way. But wait a minute. I understand that he's not sending angelic beings to us to appear to us. I understand that. And now he could if he wanted to. He is sovereign to do whatever he wants to do. But I understand and I think that what happens is there is an overcompensation, really, because there are those who take it to really another extreme, and they do nothing because they don't feel like they know what God's will is, so they do nothing. They're like, again, kind of just stifled up in life and in ministry, and that's the other extreme. Then there are those that are looking for signs in the sky and it for everything. You know, God, even this morning, has chosen sovereignly. God has, again, chosen to primarily speak to us through his word. Yeah. Amen. He's revealed his will through his word.
Right.
Not through podcast. Not through the latest books. Not through, through... your name it, TBN or whatever. It's not how he's decided to reveal his will. He's revealed his will through his word.
Right.
And I believe that at the same time, that does not mean that God does not lead and guide us in our individual lives. There's a balance there. Now I realize that some people take it too far. I mean, I don't know if you heard about the lady who was woke up in the morning and she looked at her clock and she noticed the time and it said 7:47 and she was praying just a little while before that what Lord would have her to do if she was to be a missionary. So she thought, well, I'll go buy a plane ticket now and get on a plane. She took 7:47 to mean that she's going to go serve as a missionary. You know, that's not the way to follow God's leadership, is it? No. That's not how to determine God's will even for your life. But here's what I'm saying. You need to be confident in God's ability to lead you. Be confident in God's ability to lead you. Again, you ought to seek him. You know, it's exciting and it's an adventure. Amen. He'll light your way by his word. By his word. You know, I'm reminded of Moses. Moses there at the burning bush. The Bible says that Moses turned aside. When God makes himself known to you, don't turn away from him. Turn aside to him to hear what he says. Doesn't it stand to reason, though, that if he's our shepherd, doesn't it stand to reason that he'll lead us
Amen.
As his sheep?
That's right.
If he's the Lord of the harvest, doesn't it stand to reason that he can direct the workforce wherever he wants them in his harvest? If he is the husbandman, will he not prune those that he wants to, if we'll cooperate? He's the potter. He's not going to take his hands off the clay and just let it spin, is he? No. He is a hands-on God. He is molding. He is shaping. He is involved in your life. Be confident that our great God is involved. Amen. He is a hands-on God, and he can lead and guide specifically in your life. And think about this chapter. Again, it's so essential that Isaac would marry the right person. So essential. And for the servant to go back out and try to find one particular young lady for Isaac, again, who he's supposed to marry, kind of like trying to find a needle in a haystack for somebody else. He had to be confident that God was going to lead. Amen. He had to be confident that in God's leadership. Not only can be confident in the great God that God's involved, but he also be confident in God's leadership. Preacher, how do you know that that the servant was confident in God's leadership? You see it there? He took 10 camels. He took 10 camels. You know, the camels, you know, they were bearing some jewels and some dowry type things. You know, one of the things I don't know about camels, too, that they were the U-Hauls of the day. Right? They were the U-Hauls of the day, and he went by faith, believing that he was going to bring a bride back for Isaac. He was confident in God's leadership. You know, young man, you know, once you get married, there's one thing I found out. When you get married, you have all your stuff. When you get married, you get all her stuff too. It's a blessing, isn't it, guys? Amen. You get all this other stuff. So Abraham, he sent his servant. He went in the general direction, and he stood by a well, and he prayed. God, here's what I want to pray that you would make happen. God, would you see to that this would happen, and that whoever Isaac's supposed to marry, that you would again have her not only give me drink, again that would be customary of the day, not only give me drink, but that she would go beyond that and water these 10 camels. I don't know, has anybody ever watered a camel? Just kind of look at this, these dromedaries of that region, they say it could drink 20 to 40 gallons, so let's say 30 gallons of water in a single sitting, and they can consume it within 10 minutes. That's pretty fast. Talking about a lot of water, 300 gallons. Now, I have to haul water at my house because we have a well and we have a low-producing well, so at times I have a 500-gallon tank that I have to haul to fill up my 2,500-gallon tank at the house. Hauling water is not an easy task, but it's easy for me because I just put a quarter in after I put the pipe from the end of the tank. So it goes pretty fast, but even 2, 3, 5 gallons at a time, that's a lot of water, isn't it? 300 gallons of water, again, she potentially carried and put in a trough. Now, we don't know, again, if they needed to all be topped off or if they were already 3/4, but, you know, nonetheless, it's hard work, right? It's hard work for, she was a hardworking woman. God's leadership, he said there, God would make it clear, and I'm confident that you can make it clear. And so he first says, be confident in God's ability to lead, amen? Then secondly, you need to be observant in God's leadership. Be observant in the way of God's leadership. Be confident that God, be confident, but then also be observant. Thank God, you need to be confident that God can lead, but you need to also be observant. That's exactly what happened here. Rebecca came. And by the way, how did she end up marrying who she was supposed to? She was just doing what she was supposed to be doing. And maybe even some young men here don't know if God's called you into the ministry. Let me tell you this. First off, just be faithful doing what you're supposed to be doing now. Just be faithful serving God now. Amen. She was faithful. Follow God's leadership. Be confident in God's leadership. Be observant here of God's leadership. That's exactly what happened here. He prayed again while he was sitting there. They're praying. God made his leadership abundantly clear. How do you know when God's leading you? And I think you need to know that because, again, if God's hand is leading you, it ought to have his fingerprints all over it. Amen? It ought to have his fingerprints all over it. And God leads you in a way, again, will always be consistent with his word. God will always lead you that is consistent with his word. Amen? Yes. And it needs to be backed up by scripture. If it's not backed up by the word of God, God's nowhere near that thing. Yeah, right. Amen? God's leadership again comes at times when you're delighting in him. See, the servant was delighting in the Lord. What was he doing? He was praying. He prayed, the servant of Abraham, I stand here praying. And while he was delighting in the Lord, God led, his leadership came into his life. And God's leadership is made evident again through a series of circumstances. Had it not, again, been circumstances that led to all this, that's exactly what happened. See, if you look at verse number 50, look over there in verse number 50. Excuse me. Verse number 50, he says this, and Laban and Bethuel answered and said, the thing proceedeth from the Lord. We cannot speak unto thee bad or good. So in other words, the servant of Abraham reiterated what has all transpired, what's all happened. And Laban said, God has spoken here. This thing has proceeded from the Lord. And how did he know all that? How did he know it proceeded all from God? Well, he just spent time with God. And he'd been observant of what God was doing. Through a series of circumstances. It was made very evident through these series of circumstances. It's also going to be evident to others. So he's sharing again with others. And he says, this is clearly God's work and God's leadership. As he recounts it. And I believe when God's leading you, it will stretch your faith. It will stretch your faith. Sometimes that's a hard stretch. Amen. So it is the decision that you're about to make, does it match up with God's word? Has it come at a time that you're delighting in the Lord? Has it been made evident in a series of circumstances? Is it evident to others? Do others that know you would counsel you, say, well, yeah, God's in this. It makes good sense. And does it stretch your faith? Sometimes I think we make decisions in ministry without going through this process. Are you in the way? Abraham says, I being in the way, the Lord led me. This morning, are you confident in God's leadership? Are you observant in the way that God may be leading you? And also this, be obedient. How many times do we have to say that as preachers? Be obedient. We could say that to other people, but sometimes it's so hard for us to hinder, to heed what God said. Look at verse number 56. Verse number 56. He says this, hinder me not, seeing the Lord hath prospered my way. In other words, says we got to act right now on this. Then verse number 58. Wilt thou go, they ask Rebekah, wilt thou go with this man? I love what her words are, very simply put. And she said, I will go. I will go. When God's worked in your life, when he's made it evident what you're supposed to do, the only good and proper response, amen, is obedience. God made his leadership very, very clear. I will go. And then they say to her, a little bit later on, be thou the mother of thousands of millions. See that later on in the text. You know, she could have stayed back home and she could have probably married somebody else, still had a nice family, a nice life. But listen, here's what happened. When God intervened in her life, God made his leadership very clear to her, and she responded by faith. And the result of that is that we're reading her story here this morning. She's the mother of thousands and of millions. In what sense? Father Abraham had many sons. And many sons had Father Abraham. Amen. Isaac, Jacob, and I am one of them. And so are you. If you're saved, amen. Because a young lady said, I will go. You're here even this morning because God made his leadership evident in your life. There was a time in your life, preacher, that God called you to the ministry. Don't forsake his leadership. Amen. Be confident. Be observant. Be obedient. Do what God wants you to do. And watch him work through your life.